Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Kind of chilly where we are. And if you happen to have any kind of a car care question, you have to bring in your vehicle for your any kind of service to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, and you want to know what could be ailing, Dan Burns, ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive, is going to help us out like he has so many years here on WCCO. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, Denny Long. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Nice and cozy inside, and as I hope you are, but I would imagine. What was the business like at Lloyd's this past week? I'm thinking, you know, cold weather stuff has been up and down this this season. I'm sure you and your crews have been pretty busy with that issue.
We have, and this morning will be no exception, will it? It is plenty chilly out. I did drive over to Lloyd's to do the show this morning, and it is pretty crisp out, and the slush that once was on the roads has gotten pretty crunchy.
Yeah, you're right. It's, in fact, it's slippery, too, in certain areas of walks and driveways, so be careful out there. I was saying, I'm seeing and hearing more stories about people thinking, well, I'm just going to run in here for a minute. Of cars being stolen, somebody is going to walk their dog and warming up their car before they go to work. And in the seconds, that car is stolen. I'm hearing more and more of stories of that. So don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very tempting to warm up the car when, you know, it's 5 below 0 or whatnot. But not with an end result like that. So, well, enough of this soapbox, but I wanted to get your take on things, how things have changed over, well, just in the last year and a half or so with the automobile industry. And there's a the big Chicago Auto Show. I mean, I wonder what that's like these days.
Well, I think what I'm hearing, Denny, is that it's good news. That
oh, good.
First of all, that it's happening.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Because they have not been happening, and so I think it's good news that they're able to get together and have an auto show, and it sounds like it's going on relatively normal compared to, you know, what we've been going on or what's been going on for the past couple years. But I find it interesting that it seems like this year the rage is all electric vehicles, and that's what everybody's talking about. And I think, to my surprise and maybe yours, it seems like the electric vehicle industry is going to come at us a lot more quickly than I thought it was going to, and the manufacturers seem to be pretty excited about it.
No, I totally agree. And looking at the magazines that I get and talking with you, and I didn't think it was going to be this quickly, but you're right. I mean, I look at the publications alone, and that seems to be that's the full thrust already. Vehicles, trucks, cars, trucks, any kind of vehicle are really coming to the foreground much quicker than, you know, what were they talking? 2035. By 2035, we'll have no internal combustion engine sold or manufactured. But yeah, really fast. Now, what does that mean for somebody like you and your crews? I mean, you guys service electric or hybrid vehicles, do you not?
We do, and we have, and we will. And just like every other thing that came along in history, it'll be an evolution that we'll keep up with. You know, when cars switched from carburetors to fuel injection, everybody thought that was the end for the car repair shop. The cars wouldn't break anymore. And when everything went computerized, we thought that was it. The cars wouldn't break anymore. And it's just not true. You know, anything that has a moving part, that moving part is susceptible to having trouble. And so electric cars will be no different. They still have brakes. They still have suspension. They still have, you know, power windows and locks and everything that and wipers and everything that a conventional internal combustion car has. So I still suspect there'll be plenty of work for us. And the one that gets me thinking most about this is that Ford has been so bold with their F-150 pickup.
Yeah.
They're absolutely convinced that they're going to be able to convince the whole construction world that the F-150 is that they're going to be able to convince the whole construction world that the F-150 is going to be the best vehicle. The electric F-150 is going to be the best vehicle on the road. And so we'll see. We'll see how they do with that. That will be interesting. If they're able to get that crowd on board, then it's absolutely going to work.
Not that we need more speed, because I see more people blowing past the speed limit like I know you have, too. And we've had comments here on CCO on the text line about this. So many speeders. But getting back to the electric vehicles, they're fast. I mean, we're talking like 1,000 horsepower on some of these trucks.
Well, they can be. Yeah. They certainly can be, and you know, they're not all going to be built like that,
right?
But they can be, and so I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited for it, and I don't have mine ordered yet. I'm not that sold on it, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, what do you think? It's hard to guess because we don't have a crystal ball. By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, I want to give you the phone number. It's also the text line, so whatever is easier. Any kind of a car care question, you want to talk to the man here, Dan Burns. 651-461-9226. And keep in mind, Dan's going to be gone here in about 30 minutes, so don't wait if you have a car care question. 651-461-9226. You don't foresee the internal combustion engine going away real fast, right?
Well, it won't. Of course won't. You know, pretty much all of the vehicles that are being sold, or statistically, it's all of them.
Yeah.
And, those cars are going to be on the road for 20 or 25 years. So, you know, they're certainly not going away. And the internal combustion engine's not going to be going away, for a long time. That's for sure. So, and by then I'm going to be pretty old. So it probably won't make any difference to me. I'll be getting a ride in one. I'm not sure I'll be driving one. We'll see.
Well, let's wait and see. All right, let's hang on. If you have any kind of a car care question, as we said, call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. It's now 6 below 0 in the Twin Cities. We hope to make it to 6 above later here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Had a good Saturday morning to you. 6 below 0 here in the Twin Cities. Danny Long, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Where exactly on Grand are you located, Daniel?
Well, you'll have to find us this week, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or you can give us a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
You're right. I'll be there this week. And as I leave, drop off my car, I'm going to be finding breakfast and other shopping, because it's a great avenue to do that. So it makes it all the more fun. Yeah, we'll get you Dan's number here before he leaves us today, which is about 7:45. So, Dan, we have callers. We have texters. Back to work. Mary Lou is first up here, calling from St. Paul, I believe. Mary Lou, thank you. What is your question for Dan?
Well, this isn't a question. This is a compliment. Last Sunday, my 99 Honda, which was locked, was stolen from my church parking lot. The police found it, took it to the impound lot. I had it towed from there up to Lloyd's. They checked it over and put in a new ignition for me, because the thieves had punctured the ignition. And yesterday when I went to pick up the car, they were so kind that I walk with a cane. They brought the car right up to the door so that I wouldn't fall on any ice while I was going to get in my car. And I just wanted to say I am so pleased with the work that they had done and how kindly I was treated. So I thought Dan could use a good word.
Well, you're right. Well, how positive is that?
Huh? I sure do appreciate that. Thank you, Mary Lou. I really appreciate you calling in with that, and that's nice. That is how we like to treat people. That's how we want to be treated, in the world. And I hope that it continues to go that way.
But you and your crews have always been that way as long as I've known you. As far as that's you remember how in the old days. Especially women would be a little intimidated by bringing their cars in for service. That doesn't happen at Lloyd's. You never see.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think you're pretty comfortable coming here. And you know, what's it? The golden rule, Denny? Treat others
yes.
as you want to be treated.
Absolutely, and you guys do it too. Thanks, Mary Lou. Absolutely true. Jerry is also calling from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Jerry, you are on with Dan.
Thank you. Good morning, Dan and Denny. Dan, I have a 2016 RAV4 hybrid, and I want to change the 12-volt battery myself. Is there any special battery that I need to do that on that RAV4, or is it just dimensionally that if I can get a new battery in, everything is okay?
Yeah, no, the starting battery is a conventional 12-volt battery, and, if you go into any parts store to get the battery or a battery shop, wherever you choose to get it, you'll find that they can look it up by application, and the application that they offer you will be, you know, exactly what you need to put the battery in. And it's on a hybrid, it's no different than any other conventional car. It's easiest if you are able to somehow keep the power alive, which is what we do. We hook up a jump box to the, to the car, to the vehicle, while we're disconnecting the battery, and that way you don't lose all your memory on your phone, or not on your phone, on your radio, and all of your settings. But it's not that important. It's just more convenient to do it that way. But changing the battery on a hybrid is no different than in any other car.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Jerry. Let's grab a call from Joe, who is calling in from Monticello this morning. Thanks for waiting, Joe. What's your question for Dan?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for your show. It's really nice. I have a question about a blower motor, and I don't know if you need the model of the truck or anything, but the mower, if you put it in high, it'll turn off, turn on, turn off, turn on, all by itself. And I don't know if that's, I've been told it could be like a resistor or the blower motor itself or the switch.
It could be any of those. Typically, it's not the blower motor resistor, because if it's a blower motor resistor, what happens is it'll work on high, but when you turn it to the lower speeds, it will not work.
Okay, well, just to follow up, it works on all the speeds, but it seems that typically if I have it on the high position, it'll turn off and on. I don't know.
Right. Well, the high position is one where it's getting the most power fed to it, and so it's got the most resistance. And so I think what you're probably going to find is if you check the blower motor and if you check the switch, you're going to find that somewhere along the line there, you're going to find a spot that's gotten hot. And you'll find that by actually seeing that the plastic around the connector has started to melt, or it'll show signs of having been hot. And when you find that, that's where your problem's going to be. I would say most commonly, with what you're describing, it'll be at the switch. So that's where I would look first. But it could be anywhere along the wiring. And it could actually be at the blower resistor if that's where it has had a loose connection. And a loose connection, when there's a loose connection, that's what causes it to get hot, because there's high resistance. And so I think you're going to find a hot spot. And when you find that, you'll solve your problem.
All right. Dan, I want to remind our texters, we're going to grab your text questions right after we have a look at that forecast. So don't go away. We have a few more minutes, about 15 to be exact, of our Car Care Show. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive answering your questions, as he's done for so many years. So stand by. I can say tell you it is a minus 6, 6 below 0. That forecast straight ahead. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're around every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, right there in Grand Avenue. Dan, we have a bunch of text messages let's grab onto before you take your leave today. Here's one we get from time to time. Years ago, if you were sitting at a stoplight for a long time, it was a good idea, texter says, to put your automatic transmission into neutral. Do you need to do that anymore, or should you?
Yeah, I don't think there's any significant advantage to doing that. The vehicle is certainly designed to be driven with it left in gear, and so I don't see that there's any reason to switch it to neutral. I never have. Most people never do, and there's never any consequences to the transmission for not putting it in neutral.
It seemed to me, and again, I don't have a driver's manual in front of me, and I don't remember if it said it officially, but I thought that you had to have your vehicle in control at all times. And I remember that issue, putting the car neutral at a stop sign or a stoplight, saying, no, can't do that. You got to be in control all the time. I may be just,
Yeah, I don't know about that, because when you have the clutch disengaged, manual transmission and the transmission in neutral, it would be the same situation.
That's
so
true.
I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessary either.
All right, good. Thank you for that text. Here's another one. Are there any service bulletins you're aware of for the electronics on my new Equinox? P.S. All sorts of problems. Have you heard or experienced there in the shop about an Equinox issues?
To answer their question exactly, I'm sure there's lots of service bulletins regarding the electronics on an Equinox or pretty much any car. So that's a great resource. We use it all the time. Searching technical service bulletins that come from the manufacturer. Unknown problems on cars, and it saves us a ton of time. It saves customers a bunch of money by having that information available to us. So I certainly would recommend that whenever you're having a problem, that's a great place to start for looking for a solution.
Okay. This texter has a 2015 Ford Escape, and this week they say the following lights came on: my ABS and traction control, along with a message that states, quote, hill start assist not available.
Yeah, I wonder if the check engine light also came on, because oftentimes the check engine light will come on and it will disable the anti-lock brakes and those things. So that's one problem that might be going on. But at any rate, the solution is you're going to have to bring that into a shop, where they can hook it up to their computerized equipment, scan your computers, and see what's going on. If the lights have been on, there'll be diagnostic trouble codes that are stored in there, and we'll use those diagnostic trouble codes to get us pointed in the right direction with coming up with the diagnostics on what's going on with your car.
You're going to have to help me with this one. This is a 2000 Nissan Altima. It's a 5-speed. Texter says they had the neutral safety switch fixed. Didn't start 2 different days so far. Can you explain what this does?
Well, the neutral safety switch, it's actually a clutch safety switch. The clutch has to be engaged when you go to start the vehicle so that it doesn't, on a manual transmission, if you don't have your foot on the brake and you don't have the vehicle in neutral, and you go to start the vehicle, it will lunge forward or backwards, depending upon what gear it's in, and that's not safe. So to keep it safe, they disable the starting system unless you have the clutch depressed on most cars. On some cars, it has to be in neutral also, but on most cars, it's just that the clutch has to be depressed. And if it's defective, it certainly will cause the vehicle not to start. If that did not solve your problem, then that's probably not what was wrong with the car. And, you know, for us, if it will actually act up, checking the starting system is pretty simple. We can put a test light or voltmeter down at the starter and see what's going on when it acts up. And if we are getting voltage to the starter at the time that it's not acting up, then the starter is probably what's going to turn out to be the problem. But you have to do some testing to be able to prove that.
Okay. So here's another question, but it's a fun comment. Texter says, I've had a 1979 Camaro Z28 since it was new. Most of the mechanical parts are original, like the fuel and oil pumps. 43 years! Exclamation point. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. You know, I've said this many times, Denny, and it's just true. What we expect of our cars and what our cars are able to do is just remarkable. And so with our opening conversation this morning about electric cars, the electric cars have a big shoe, or they've got big shoes to fill with the performance of the internal combustion engine, because it has just been remarkable. There's some questions about environment and things like that, but when it comes to performance, that we can start our vehicle when it's 25 below zero and we can drive our vehicle when it's 110 degrees outside and it works perfectly, that's pretty amazing.
It really is. Speaking of classic or older cars, do you and your crew see many of those coming into Lloyd's, the old carbureted type? Of course, this probably isn't carbureted in 1979. Yeah. But what do you still see things like that?
We still do. We still have a few regulars that have been bringing their cars here forever, and we'll still see them. It's certainly not the market that we're going after with our, the future of our business, the classic cars, but we still see a few, and I'm old enough to have been working on them all my life, so I'm pretty comfortable with it. But it's not what we normally do.
Sure. We're talking about electric cars, among other things, this morning, and this texter says, how long are the electric cars' batteries good for, and what will be done with the old batteries? Good question.
Well, that is a good question. I don't know what the longevity of the batteries in an electric car are. The high power batteries and future of recycling electric car batteries, I think, is very good because the unfriendly part of electric vehicles is those batteries are made from metals, and of course metals have to be mined, and mining is not very, if you've experienced mining, it's just not a very environmentally friendly thing to deal with or to see. And so that's if they're able to come up with a way that the old batteries can be completely recycled and reused and mixed with other metals or mixed with other something and be reproduced using the batteries instead of disposing of them, that'll be great news. And I think that will happen. And if they could come up with ways to use less metal in the batteries, that would also be a good thing because like I say, mining is a pretty ugly thing that happens on this planet. So,
yeah.
But we'll see. It's an ever changing and evolving thing that's going on, and we'll see how they perform, and we'll see how environmentally friendly they turn out to be. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a good thing, and I think that as it evolves, they'll solve all these problems on the way.
Very good. Here's a 2014 Honda Civic. Its texture says, occasionally when it's really cold, the starter makes a little sound. when I turn it off. Are there any warning signs before a starter fails, is the question.
Well, there are, and if it does it consistently, I would recommend that you bring it into your shop and let them take a listen to it. I'm wondering if the starter is staying partially engaged a little bit, and if the gear that the starter engages with is actually touching it a little bit when he shut it off. And if that's the case, yes, it will need to be replaced or repaired. But I think the best way to have that diagnosed is to have a professional put his ear to it and take a listen, because that could be that you're having a starter problem.
Time for one more, and then we have to let you go. Are the service bulletins available to the public? Texter wants to know.
You know, a web search would be the way to find them if they are. That's not how I find them. We subscribe to professional services that make them available to us. We're very happy to help people, you know, by sharing those service bulletins if you can't find them anywhere else. Or oftentimes, like even at the public libraries, they'll have access to some of these forums and things like that. But boy, it's pretty impressive what you can find if you do a web search. If you're having a problem with a car and you start looking, these chat forums and stuff will give you an awful lot of information, and much of it is very good.
Yeah, and I have found information off the internet, like you suggested, on bulletins. There are places I can readily find. So just Google your vehicle and go for that, and I bet you'll find something, if indeed there are bulletins.
The other thing you'll find, Denny, is it's overwhelming. It's like, for me, the good news of somebody trying to find information about their car is they get too much information.
Too much,
and
yeah.
It's overwhelming, and they end up bringing it in because they can't deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if they do need to bring it into Lloyd's Automotive, how do we do that? How do we get in touch with you guys?
Come on over to 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. The sun is shining beautifully here today, and it's a little cool, but that's okay. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call as soon as this morning. Big Nick will be here, 651-228-1316.
And I will see you this week, and we'll do another show next Saturday. How about that?
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks very much. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Jack, of course, from Haskell, straight ahead. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.